I love Love it.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Mary Brotherton. I am your host, and I will tell you, this has been quite an adventure. I logged in. Everything was great and wonderful and dandy, and Elizabeth called in, our guest for today, and she couldn't hear me. I could hear her perfectly fine. She did all kinds of wiggling and niggling on her end, and we got disconnected, so she called back, and she couldn't hear me. So then my co-host called in, and he couldn't hear me. So I just did what I didn't know what else to do. I unplugged my headset, plugged it back in, and booyah, here we are. My co-host today is the wonderful Jean Albertson, and our guest,
hey.
I'm excited. Our guest today, Jean, is Elizabeth McCullough. She's kind of a crazy lady, I think. I love her.
Hey.
She's awesome. Had... You know you are, Elizabeth.
I am not.
Well, you should be. Crazy
no, I'm
is
just
fun.
Old. I'm not crazy.
You know, you should be crazy. It's fun. Ask Jean and me. You're going to find
well,
out. It's a lot of
I
fun.
I have to say I'm pretty crazy, unfortunately.
I know
I
am.
Do it all the time. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, Jean. She's a birth mom, a foster mom, a step mom, a grandmom. So she's like the mother load of mothers. And she has.
Mother load of mothers. That's a good one.
She has
oh God.
Traveled all over the place. I mean, she was born in Buenos Aires, Argentina. She lived in New England. She lived out in the Midwest. She lived in Canada. She lived somewhere in the South. And then she came to Florida. And she's been an attorney. She's worked with the homeless. She was a poverty teacher. How do you teach people about being in poverty? That would be – don't teach people that, Elizabeth. We don't want that.
No, it's not teaching people how to be. It's trying to expose middle-class kids, law students, to the lives of – the people that many people don't see. And it was so much fun doing that.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
So
how did I do it?
Yeah, what were your steps?
Well, the first time I taught the course, which I made up, it was called Poverty Law. And I didn't have a clue. And so those poor students had they had over 1,200 pages. I can't believe it. Over 1,200 pages of reading. I mean, really. Poor darlings. And they were so enthusiastic. So it was a lot of things about social programs and statutes and cases and regulations. And I taught it, I don't know how long, 8 or 10 or 12 years. The last semester I taught it, there wasn't any law in it at all. And it was all, I think I had 13 documentaries, wonderful documentaries about the catfish processors in Mississippi and the welfare organizers, you know, the welfare women who organized in Philadelphia. And so I had a bunch of documentaries and a bunch of sort of journalistic readings. Jason DePaul at the New York Times did an awful lot of writing about welfare, so-called welfare reform, and just drew really compelling pictures of the lives of people that they're not hidden away. They're supporting all the rest of us. But my goal was these kids, I shouldn't call them kids. Okay, they were law students. And some of them were idealistic, and most of them just needed 3 credits. But I wanted them, if they should do either poverty law as a career or as volunteers from time to time, I wanted them to understand something about the world that their clients were living in. So that's what that course was about, and that was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Well, before we get any deeper, because there are so many questions I want to ask you, and I know Jean probably has a lot.
Well, we can just go all night, darling. I mean, the show is supposed to be on what? I know. It's supposed to be on at 9 o'clock, so we could just go from 1 to 9,
right?
We can
actually talk for 3 hours, and then the show will cut me off. And about that time, my husband or my... Either my husband or my cat will come along banging at the door saying, feed me, Seymour. But
yeah, I'll get that earlier than you probably.
Before we do anything else, I want to tell our listeners, if you're listening right now, call in. The number is 516-418-5651. And I want Elizabeth to tell them why they should call in.
Oh, you should call in because we're all so much fun, but also because the first 3 callers to this show will get a personally inscribed copy of my novel, Dreaming the Marsh, which is an environmental fable. And every single lucky caller we'll also get 2 absolutely beautiful bookmarks that are about Dreaming the Marsh. And they really are nice bookmarks.
They are. I have one.
Sweet.
And I will tell you.
Oh, you have one. Good.
I do. I have one, and I have the book, and I loved it. It has been a long time since I've picked up a book that wasn't by one of the, you know, the top Tom Clancy or... I don't even know. Can't even remember their names now. They're so famous. But, you know, someone I've never heard of. And picked up the book and started reading and thought, please tell me I don't have to put this down right now. I need to read more. And I probably read the book within a week. And the only reason I read it that slowly is because I have a husband and I have a cat. And they both are spoiled rotten. And I don't mind because my mother taught me that if you spoil someone, that means you love them. But if I didn't have to feed other living creatures, I would have read that book without ever putting it down.
Oh my goodness! I would have gone and gotten popcorn or something.
Oh no, I don't do that. That's too much trouble. I would read this book every evening for hours. And it was just, and I didn't, I can speed read, and I do sometimes when I'm just trying to get to the end of the book and see what, you know, get the story. This was one of those books that I almost wanted to read out loud and hear it as well as feel. It's a good book. No lies. I did a review on it in one of the recent issues. I think it was issue 14 of Be Unique magazine.
It was a very nice review, too. I really appreciated it. Thank you.
It was from the heart. It was all from the heart.
But I should tell you that if your problem is you've got a husband and a cat who need feeding, and you've got a book that calls out to be read out loud, what you do is you sit them down and you read them the book.
Well, I can't cook and read at the same time.
Well, you can just get takeout.
Or get your husband to read the book while you cook, you know.
Or if you have a husband who can cook, which is a real valuable commodity.
Now we're getting off into some real fables and fantasy land here.
Well, okay, can I tell you a very brief story about a husband?
Absolutely.
Okay, my husband, for many years, we've been married about 20 years, and he's always said, well, I'll take over cooking a few nights, but it never happened. And then about 8 months ago, he said, I keep saying I'll do it. I want to do Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And by golly, and I can't believe I said by golly, but anyway, he did, and he does. And the thing that's wonderful about it for me is, you know, if you're the cook in the family, around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, you start thinking about, so what am I going to make, and what do we got?
Oh, no, I don't go to the store.
And this, oh, you don't?
No, even before my husband started working from home, I've been working from home for years, and he comes to my office around 5:30, whether he's working from home like he is now or working at his office. He usually comes to my door around 5:30, 5:45, and says, what's for dinner? And I look at him with the trout look on my face, and I go, let me get back to you in 15 minutes. And I run, and I see, did I remember to thaw anything out? No, I didn't. Do we have enough stuff to make salad? No, I don't. We're going to have spaghetti tonight, honey. I'm so glad my husband doesn't listen to this podcast.
Really? Well, you know, for a small fee, I will not call him up and tell him all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have to ask you a question, though, about your husband. Yes. This is not the one that you married 8 days after you met him, is it?
No. This one, in fact,
how long did you know?
This guy I married, let me just think. I met him in 1995, and I married him in 1999. So
you gave him a little marination time.
Well, I gave him a tryout.
Wow, you guys are brutal.
He is a man that I adore him, but I also admire the hell out of him. He's a wonderful man.
That's the best way.
He's a really good man. He's good, and he's funny as hell, and he's very, very smart. And excuse me, but he's really sexy looking. Anyway, that's enough about that.
Well, let me tell you my little story. I'm on my second husband, and had I met him walking down the street, I would have probably just walked right by. But I have learned that being sexy and romantic has absolutely nothing to do with what you look like,
but it's how
you make someone else feel. And this man can make my ribs hurt so much from laughing. And
that's awesome.
Like you, I love him. I admire him. But more importantly, I respect him. And that was something I didn't have the first time around. And it makes a difference.
Huge difference.
Oh, it definitely makes a difference.
So I'm going to give this phone number one more time.
Now what are we going
I'm going to give out the phone number again because I know people don't always hear it the first time around. But it is 516-418-5651 if you would like to get a copy of one of the best books I have read this year. Honest to God, it's one of the best books I've read this year. It's called Dreaming the Marsh. Now, Gene, you haven't read the book yet, have you?
I have not had the opportunity. I did read about it, what others had to say, and it sounds fascinating. To me, the central thing I come out of it that I'm looking forward to reading it is there was discussion how the book talks about change and how all different kinds of people deal with it and all the different ways that they do. And I thought, how timely, you know, that we have right now.
Oh, yep.
So I do look forward to reading it.
But Gene, I hadn't thought of it. You know, obviously any story you can sort of look at it and characterize it in a certain way, and I hadn't thought about it. It certainly is true that this whole community is dealing with kind of a catastrophic change in the story, but I hadn't thought about it. Oh, these are people dealing with change, but you're quite right. They certainly are.
Different outlooks on how they're, whether it's good change, bad change, how are we going to deal with, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, and what do they accept, and can they fight it, and all sorts of things.
Sure.
But it's a much less, let me just say this, for people who are not so much enjoying what we're going through now, this book will not sort of reproduce. I think this is a tough time. It's not particularly tough for me because I'm a very fortunate person. But the change, the catastrophe in my book, which is a sinkhole that just won't stop growing, is not a painful, heartbreaking, catastrophic, people's lives destroyed sort of. I mean, a couple,
right.
You know, there's a real estate developer whose dreams sort of fall apart, but it's not destroying a whole lot of stuff the way what's going on now is.
Well,
it's not
global.
What I'm trying to
it's
say.
It's more local.
It's not a sad book.
No, it's not.
Unless you don't like the way one of the romances ends up. And many people, when I talk to
book clubs
and I say, well, now, what didn't you like? And they say, well, I don't understand why she ended up with him.
You know, I kind of had that thought too, but then, but it actually felt right. By the time I got to the end of the book, I thought about it for a minute. See, this is why I like Dreaming the Marsh, folks. And if you call in now, first three callers get their own copy, 516-418-5651. Give us a call. You can talk to Elizabeth. We'll get your information, and we can go from there. But what I like about the book was when I turned to the last page, I said, oh, it's over. And then I started thinking about the different scenarios. Well, you know, she could have done this. Why didn't she do that? But you know what else I liked about it? It was very well edited. For me, that's a big deal. I have photos on my wall of some bestseller, just a page or two that I find with a red pen pointing to the mistake. I have two on the wall, and I've got more that I've taken that I need to print out. I'd like to plaster my wall with it because it blows my mind the mistakes that I can find in books that are bestsellers or at least good sellers, and they still have mistakes in them. And I know that when I finally get around to publishing mine, it will have mistakes too, but that's okay.
There's editing and there's proofreading, and I'm with you. I am. It's really distressing to see, because you know what kind of effort and work writers put into their babies. And the proofreading, when the proofreading isn't well done, it's a shame and it's disconcerting. But even more valuable from my point of view, I have an editor. And there's several categories, but my publisher is my editor. And what she does is she takes my manuscript and she says, well, I really like this. You know, this is wonderful. But this part doesn't quite work. And so with Dreaming the Marsh, what she said was, what did she say? Oh, the Dreaming the Marsh has a lot of magic in it. Magical things happen. But when I first sent it to her, it really only had one magical thing. It had writing that magically appeared on a wall. And she said to me, you know, you can't just, magic is fine, but it has to sort of more fill the book, and it has to more relate to what's going on. And
I like the way you did that.
Oh, I love that part. I'm so crazy. There is a character in there, this wonderful, tall, ageless, but probably, you know, she's kind of in her 80s, but really she's magical, so God knows how old she is. But she's this wonderful woman who has prophetic vision, and strange things happen around her. And she just, came in after my publisher said, you got to make it more integral to the book. And she also told me to change the relationship between the twin sisters. And when I did that, they became real as opposed to being cartoon characters, because they had been.
Uh-huh.
And I'm editing a book now, or I'm working on a book now with revisions that she suggested. And she was right. She knows her stuff. I love this woman. I mean, first of all, she gave me my chance and she published my book. But second, it's such a joy to work with her. I hope she's listening. I told her. She knows I feel this way. But I told her we were doing this. And
well, if she's listening, she should call in, even if she doesn't want a free book.
Another copy.
Yeah,
just call
in.
She's
516.
And she could tell you about Twisted Road.
5651. Twisted Road is the name of your publisher.
Yeah, Twisted Road Publications. They're in Tallahassee. And what they try to do is get what they call marginalized voices that aren't published by mainstream publishers and, you know, get them out into the light of day. And that's me. I'm a marginalized voice.
What makes you marginalized?
Well, that's a good question, because really I'm not. I mean, the only thing that makes me marginalized, I think, is I didn't get published till I was, how old am I? I'm 70, till I was 71, and I tried for 30 years. So I was marginalized in that sense. And I'm a woman, so, you know, at least I'm not a guy. But I remember when, excuse me, is it Glenn? Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
That's okay.
But I'm white, I'm privileged, I'm, you know, I have an easy life. I am not marginalized in that sense. But Joan's theory was that the environment is kind of marginalized, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Now, are you considered an indie writer, or?
Well, you know, let me tell you, no. What happened was they used to talk about independent publishing, which meant these small publishing houses. And now they use the term indie writer for people who self-publish, which is a different route, where you pay,
you pay all of it.
A publishing company to put, you know, to, I don't know if you pay them to design the cover. I don't know quite what you do, because that's not what I did.
I think
they used to talk about the little houses as independent publishers, but now that term has gotten a little fuzzy.
Well, I have to hit a button here and play a little ad for one of our sponsors, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
And I hope when we come back, we'll have a caller at 516-418-5651.
Call in.
There is a place
about magic
between the dark and the light, between the day and the night, where things are shadowy and gray, and we walk there on a walk in shadow. Wednesday nights at 8:00, where the darkness dwells, on astronautradio.com.
Well, I'm back with Jean and Elizabeth, and we're having a grand old time talking about nothing and everything.
We are.
The questions that I started to ask you have kind of gone out the window, and that's okay. That's why we call this unscripted, because how boring would it be if, you know, I said, welcome to the show. We have Elizabeth here. She's an author, and we're going to talk about her book. Your question is one, number blah. The question is two, number blah. The question is three. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
That'd be quick, wouldn't it?
So boring. So, Jean, before I take over the show again, is there anything that you would like to ask Elizabeth?
Well, I think one of the things that I would like to know is a little bit about you. You had talked about the food and cooking food, but I think the fact that you lived in all the different places that you lived is fascinating to me.
Really?
Yeah. I moved around when I was a youngster, a kid, but gosh, I've been sitting in the same place most of my adult life, and just recently moved to where I'm at now, very recently, and it's fascinating to somebody that moves around. The food, you got to have different food in all those places you described.
Well, let me think a little. Okay, I was born in Argentina, but I left at a very young age, like 6 months. So that doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't count.
You didn't bring any of that.
You know what I mean. It doesn't count, really.
Yeah.
But we did live in Bolivia. We lived in the suburbs of New York until I was 9. And then we lived in Bolivia for a year. And, oh, my goodness, that was the food. Bolivia is a desperately poor country. So even if you're living at the top of the food chain, which we were because my father was working for the Bolivian government and, you know, being treated like royalty, the availability of food was not a classic Bolivian dish is a cold boiled potato with incredibly spicy peanut butter on top of it.
Interesting.
That's not very, not very yummy. And we had a woman, let's see, she would have been a Quechua Indian, and she was our cook, and every morning, God knows what time, she took the bus down from the Altiplano, which it's Fort La Paz is 12,000 feet high or altitude. The Altiplano is 14,000 feet, and she lived up there, and she'd take the bus down with, and you've probably seen pictures of these women. They wear these beautiful striped woven shawls and derby hats and big skirts. And in her shawl, she would have live chickens. And she'd bring them down from the Altiplano, and she'd kill them in the courtyard and cook them for us. I'll tell you, they were scrawny chickens. We did not live high on the hog in Bolivia. Where else did I live? I lived in Montreal, where they have something called, well, it's a meat pie, but it's a particularly yummy meat pie that I can't describe, nor can I find a recipe. And then they have blood sausage, which is one of my, I like really disgusting foods. Blood sausage in Montreal is just wonderful. Michigan is Michigan food, North Carolina. I tell you what, I learned to eat greens and things, and greens and beans in North Carolina. My family was because I went to law school there, and I learned some Southern food. But my family's home food was sort of shaped by my father, who was born in 1900, to a woman who grew up in England. And he had this sort of Victorian view of food. I mean, the big deal at our table was he would slice off a yummy piece of fat and put it on your plate. And I love fat. I love animal fat. I know that if there are vegetarians listening, they've hung up. But so we ate meat and potatoes and vegetables. And we never had beans because they made him fart. We never we never had zucchini. There were all these vegetables we never saw. And it was very 19th century upper middle class food that we ate. And boy, was it good. So what else did we eat? I don't know what else we ate. We ate enough.
Well, I want to talk to you about that whiskey. You said you like peaty single malt whiskey.
I do. Lafroy. Do you know, Lafroy is something that, unless you like peaty single malt whiskey, You will definitely not like Laphroaig.
I
like
never
the look
heard
on people's. Well, I wouldn't start with it with single malts. I'd go to something like Glenfiddich or something. But I tell you what, we visited a friend of my husband's. They went to high school together in Miami a few months ago, and stayed in their beautiful house. And he collects single malt scotches.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this huge cabinet of them. And I wouldn't even, the prices are beyond, I'm a very small drinker. And I buy a $40 or $50 scotch, and it lasts me several months.
Yeah.
But
that's my kind of girl.
Scotch. And he had me, he really enjoyed that I enjoyed it. And so I was tasting them. And I swear I drank more in that weekend than I drink in a month. And they were so yummy. They were so yummy. So that's what I did. I like martinis. And in the summer I like gin tonics. But I can't believe I'm talking about what I drink.
I love it.
You're
because
I'm supposed to be talking about my book, and I'm talking about what I drink.
But see, that's what makes you human. That's what makes you real. That's why people will clamor to buy your book when they hear this.
Because I drink whiskey.
Well, I buy your book because you drink whiskey. I drink whiskey. And I like you. Oh, my God.
What kind of whiskey do you drink?
Well, right now I'm trying out one called Uncle Nearest.
A bourbon?
It's a bourbon. Yeah, I like my bourbon.
Yeah.
And I like scotch too. My mom was a scotch drinker. And she only drank Johnny Walker Red for years and years and years.
Huh.
And that's a blend. It's not a single malt. So
yeah.
When she turned 75, I was living in Atlanta, and I had my share of disposable income, thank God. So I went to my little liquor store, and I said, hey, my mom's turning 75. I want to get her something really good for her birthday. She likes scotch. He goes, oh, well, why don't we get her a 75-year-old bottle of Johnny Walker Blue?
Oh, what a nice idea.
Wow.
Yeah, $150. $150 later, I gave her, when I surprised her on her birthday, went to visit her. She was in South Carolina. And so we went to surprise her for her birthday. I gave her this bottle. She thought it was great. The color of the box was really cool. The bottle looked great. She took a sip of it and she spit it out. She said, there's something wrong with this whiskey. I said, well, it's 75 years old. She goes, oh my God, no wonder. Give me a glass of milk. I'll be okay. I said,
oh no.
Because she always drank her scotch in milk. And I said, Mama, if you don't like it, I will take it back. I will drink it myself. She goes, oh no, Elmo. No. You think I'm gonna give you a bottle of whiskey that's as old as me? I will suffer through it and I will drink it.
Well, now, Mary, I will be 75 in a little over 2 years. And
all
you
right.
can start
get your,
shopping now if you'd like.
Yeah, get your hopes up, honey.
And I will
go ahead.
Spit it out. I'll get my hopes up.
Hey, but, it's Johnny Walker. It's not Laphroaig, but it'll work.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've learned to sip. I like my whiskeys neat. And
me too.
To me, it's so much better. I might put ice on it, but very rarely, because you don't know what's in that water.
Well, I'll tell you, you and I have a little bit connected through email, and I've gotten the sense that we might be kindred spirits. But now I find out that you drink whiskey neat. And so there we go. There we go. And I need to know where Merritt Island is. You know, I don't know where it is.
Oh, my gosh. Merritt Island's on the East Coast. Do you know where Cocoa Beach is? Have you ever heard of Cocoa Beach?
Of course.
Well, I am about 30 minutes away from Cocoa Beach.
So are you? Is it an island that's off Cocoa Beach, or is it south of that? Or
you have to go across a drawbridge to get to me.
Yeah.
It's like a sea island.
Well, here's what we're gonna do: is you're gonna hook me up with a bookstore down there, and I'll come down and drink whiskey with you. Because I had all these cool bookings, and they all got canceled because of the virus.
Yeah.
And broke my heart. So, and I have relatives, oh God, up and down the east coast of Florida.
Well, Brevard County we have a very extensive library system, too.
Do you? Any connections you have, I would really appreciate if we ever don't have a virus. Because
I love running around talking about my book. Nothing.
What? You think
forever.
Not?
It'll go away eventually. I mean,
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes away before I do, is all I can say.
Yeah.
But I'm a gloomy sort
Same
of
here.
Person, so. You know.
Well, I'm not a gloomy sort of
anyway,
person. And
I know, you're just.
That's
because
you
drink all
that gloomy?
Stuff.
How can you be gloomy and drink scotch neat? I mean, you put it in a little glass and.
No, but you know the thing is, the Scottish people are sort of, Scotland is a kind of wonderfully gloomy place. And Scotland are supposed to be very dour. And I think that's because they drink a whole lot of neat single malts. But in any case, I would love, when I saw Merritt Island, I thought, I have to go visit that woman. And now that I know about your drinking habits, I probably do. Anyway,
I kind of take after my father. One is too many and 12 is not enough. But I will tell you, I do not drink tequila ever anymore.
That's so weird because neither can I. I can't drink tequila.
My husband calls tequila. After the last episode, he said, "This is liquid divorce. I will not have it in my house."
Wow.
Yeah, it turns me really mean. And I'm not a mean person. And I'll tell you another little tidbit, since we're not talking about your book, Dreaming the Marsh.
I want to talk about my book. Gosh.
We'll have to talk about my website and my book.
Tell me the other tidbit, though. Tell me the other tidbit.
I did not make the connection way back when agave syrup came on the market, and I started using agave syrup in all of my baking, and I put it in my tea, and I used it for every sweetener around. And at the time, my youngest son was living with us. He was in his mid-20s, I guess. I don't remember. I lose track of how old they are. Ever since they started pushing 40, I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. But he was living with us for a short time, and I'm drinking all this agave syrup and eating it and cookies and cakes and thinking I'm being very healthy. You know, it's better than regular sugar, supposedly. And he came to me one day and goes, "Mom, I'm going to be very personal and I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know the answer, but are you having PMS right now?" And I said, "No, as a matter of fact, I'm not." "Why?" He goes, "Because you're being a nasty bitch." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Mom, you were fine, 3 months ago when I moved in here. And now you've turned evil. What are you doing different?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not doing anything different." Yeah, I could probably call him a nasty name. And so he said, we're going through your pantry." So he starts pulling out, because he knew about the tequila. And he's pulling out different things, and he finds the agave syrup in there. He goes, mother, you cannot be having this in your house." I said, "Why not?" He said, "It's the same thing they make tequila out of."
Oh, no.
And so I stopped using the agave
wow.
syrup, and my whole personality went back to my normal wacky weirdness.
How interesting.
Yeah, and you know what?
Yeah.
That story is a definitely wacky weirdness story.
Well, of course it is. It came out of my mouth.
You know, I mean, I never heard of that. I think it's fascinating. And I'm not at all denying. I mean, I'm sure it's true. It's just weird as hell.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say hell on this thing?
Oh, you can
sure.
say any word you
just
want.
Did.
There are a few words that I would probably prefer we didn't say. I will say them when we're drinking together. About that.
Oh, well, won't that be fun?
Oh, there'll be a lot of F bombs flying around the room that day.
Okay. I have. Okay. Well, you know, this is not. I'm sure this is very amusing for us. I don't know how amusing it is for anybody
people,
who might be listening.
Well,
it's
I think
two old
kind of
women
amusing.
Cackling away, you know.
Elizabeth, people
yes.
who like podcasts love to be entertained. And they want to be educated, but they also want to be entertained.
Okay.
If there's a little controversy
okay.
in there, like if I change and stop saying the F-bomb and actually say the F-word, people love that. Jennifer would
oh, they do?
Have a conniption. Jennifer's my partner in crime with Be Unique. And Be Unique is, we try to keep everything. I always tell people that I try not to write anything or say anything that I wouldn't say in front of my grandson.
Uh-huh.
He's 14 now, and we've had some pretty open conversations about life, and he's opened my mind to a lot of things. There aren't any words that would surprise him, but I still like to make him think that Grandma is a little, Grand Mary is what he calls me, a little bit nicer than what I really am. My cat and
so
my
I
husband know the real me.
Yeah, I was going to
you
say
get,
your grandson doesn't live with you, does he?
Not yet. He's already
yeah.
threatened that, though. He's already
yeah.
talked about that because he told me one day, he said, well, if things don't go right this summer, I'll just be moving in with you. I'm like, what? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Things don't go right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was way funny. Before the virus hit. But we'll see what happens after that.
Sure.
But no, this kid and I have, he actually bonded quicker with my husband than he did me. But he loves me dearly. He says I'm the cool grandma. And that's
that.
A whole nother show. I could talk about him all day long. But let's get back to Dreaming the Marsh.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
Tell us, what was your motivation behind writing a book about magic and the Everglades?
Well, I don't really have motivations for my novels. It's more that an image comes into my head. And so for Dreaming the Marsh, well, it's an inspiration or something. But
yeah.
For Dreaming the Marsh, I was walking down the street and I saw a house, you know, raised on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly pictured a sinkhole opening up underneath it.
Mm.
And that kind of took off. And then I remember I was sitting on the couch and this verse came into my head, which is, deep down and under, up to the sky, shining and thunder, the well runs dry.
Ooh.
And that is the magic writing on the wall. So little bitsy things come to me, and then they grow and I build on them. And that's how my novels happen. I'm working on my fourth novel now, and each of them has begun with a visual image.
All right, Elizabeth, I'm getting scared right now because as you were talking about your novels and your inspiration and these visions, I held up four fingers.
Oh, no.
I knew that you were working on your fourth novel, and I was going to – I held up
yeah.
four fingers to remind myself to ask you. So now I am thinking that we're, like, joined at the collarbone or something.
God
I'm
knows
sure.
what we're joined at.
That's the whiskey glass.
Okay, let's get back to business here.
All right, well, so what do you want to ask me? Here I am.
I'm going to say this real quick.
We have 15 minutes left in this show, unless we do decide to go long.
Okay.
If anybody wants a copy of this book, which I think you would be fool not to get a free copy. No, you would be foolish. My mother told me. You never
personally
told me
to you.
Yes.
I will put an inscription in the front in my very own
sweet
handwriting.
And even if you don't want a book and you want to ask Elizabeth or me or Jean a question, or you want to tell me to shut the hell up, then just do so. The number is 516-418-5651. I'm going to play an ad and we'll be right back.
All right. I love that first ad. Oh, my goodness.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome back. Here we are, Dreaming the Marsh, talking with Elizabeth McCullough, a great lady because she drinks single malt whiskey, and Jean Albertson. And Jean, I'll tell you something kind of cool you'll enjoy. I have been harvesting my own spearmint and putting it in my mojitos.
Ooh.
And sometimes I even leave out the rum and I just drink tonic water and spearmint muddled together with a little bit of either triple sec or simple syrup. But, oh, my God, those fresh spearmint leaves are so good. Jean is a gardener, Elizabeth. Great gardener.
Oh, I'm a bad gardener, but very enthusiastic. I mean, my garden's always a mess, but I love being out in it. What do you grow, Jean?
Oh, you know, I let the everything decide what it's going to be. I just kind of, whatever I put in, if it grows, it's good. If it doesn't, then, you know, I'll try something else. So
I love that.
Everybody's happy.
But do you do flowers or vegetables or both?
Flowers mostly, yes. I love flowers.
Me too. I love flowers. Oh, there's two
awesome
kindred spirits there. Oh, my goodness.
You know,
are you in Merritt Island too?
I'm pretty close. I mean, I'm probably
within
the hour.
What do you drink?
Well,
I think we all have to somehow. We have to somehow all have a drink together. It doesn't have to be the same drink, but
we really could do that, absolutely. And I'm thinking about your visit here to talk about your book. That would be pretty fun too. I'll have to keep that in the back of my mind as well.
You know what, Gene? Yeah. I just thought of something.
Uh-huh.
We should have Elizabeth come to the Green Gables house, sit on the porch,
have a book talk.
Do you know about the house?
Oh gosh, I'd love that.
Oh my goodness.
Yes,
are
you familiar with the house?
Only from your website.
Beautiful. We can make
that
happen.
I'd love that.
That's the coolest idea ever. Jean,
and, you know, we wouldn't even really have
to
wait until. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can do that if everybody's interested.
Once we get. Oh, man. My brain is just going crazy. But once we get permission to rejoin and talk to each other again in person, we can set up an event and Marion would have a little tea party and we can invite book lovers to come. Maybe do a book. What do you call it? A book club thing at Green Gables.
Signing?
A book signing.
We can do all kinds of things. One thing, You know, something that possibly we could do, because I know you're, I'm actually, I don't know if anybody would pay for it, but if you're trying, I know you're trying to raise money for the Green Gables house, and, you know, you could happily, I would be happy to be the huge attraction that would bring people as paying visitors, you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
We could make it a paid event, we could make it a book club, we could do anything.
Yeah.
But I have one thing to say about, you know, when you say when they let us all be together again. The particular people in charge of the decision in Florida, I don't trust their judgment, and I'm going to take my judgment from somewhere else, because, you know, their interest is in seeing that Disney World flourishes. And it's not in seeing that the rest of us survive. And I'm not at all, I guess, I really thought I wouldn't be talking about this today. I thought, finally, I'm not talking about the bloody virus. But I'm distressed by what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
well,
I know
it's
all over.
And,
in any case, all I'm saying is, if they tell us we can all join hands and dance in a circle tomorrow, I'm not ready tomorrow. I'm listening to the scientists, you know.
Yes. I saw
bunch of maniacs in Florida.
You know, I get my news from Facebook because that's the only place my family goes. But I saw a meme the other day.
You get your news from where?
Facebook. Don't you?
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah. But
oh, God.
Well, there's a lot of good
I saw this
places
meme.
To start there.
Yeah, it's a springboard. But I saw this meme that one of my cousins had posted, and she said, "If the government says, if the world opens up again on May 1st, I'm staying home until June 30th, and I'll see what the rest of you look like at that point."
Yeah.
That's kind of my opinion, you know.
I don't miss I missed what you said, huh? What did you say?
I don't miss going shopping. I was never a shopper. So it doesn't bother me to have my groceries delivered. I don't need any clothes. And if I did, I'd just order them off Amazon or whatever. But you know, I miss people. I'm very fortunate that my husband is a hugger and he works from home. But other than that, you know, my life is pretty much golden.
I
feel like I'm on an extended honeymoon.
I have it very easy. Ooh.
Well, I know I miss being around people pretty much. It's interesting. I thought the other day about that what do we say, we have a 7.5-foot radius of our glow, you know, and kind of milling around in that little area is kind of got, I kind of got used to it, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'll
Gene, you're kind of like
at
me.
The time.
You have a very small personal space anyway. You know, that does make it hard. If you're one of these people that's kind of aloof and you don't want to be around people or don't like touching, then fine, you're probably doing really well. But I like to be with people, and I typically stand almost toe-to-toe with the ones I really like. And I don't care that they reach out and touch me on the arm or whatever. You know, most people now have to touch my hair anyway, but that was a first for me. No, right now it's half blue and half green.
Oh, very nice. Is that for Earth Day?
It's for Mary. I dyed my hair fuchsia once for something else, and it didn't turn out the way I wanted, so I said, I'll never dye my hair for anybody else again. Although we thought we were going to get a particular cell phone provider who has a fuchsia logo. I'm not going to call their name. Don't want to give them that credit. We thought we had them on board as a sponsor, and it didn't work out. But I had dyed my hair this brilliant pink, and It was specifically for that. But I think if, you know, if I could get Publix to be a sponsor, I'd dye my hair, whatever that is, emerald green.
Yeah.
For the minute. But I just like playing with my hair, and I don't care if the colors match. So
right.
Right now I have a royal blue on one side, and the other side is a dark green.
Hmm.
And if the gray starts growing out, it'll look like clouds, and I will look like the earth.
Well, put little birdies in your lock. Little fake birdies.
I can get some bird, what do you call them? Barrettes or bows.
Barrettes, yeah.
That's right. Birdie you barrette. Can put little barrettes in flowers and birds.
Yeah. All right. It's down to 4 minutes and 22 seconds before the end of the show.
Can't believe it.
I know. I want you, Elizabeth, to tell everybody where they can find you online.
Okay. And could I tell them a little about my website?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm proud of my website. Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. My website is at ElizabethMcCulloughAuthor.com. And McCulloch is spelled McCulloch. So it's all one word, ElizabethMcCulloughAuthor.com. And the thing I love about my website is just a few things that are on it that are cool. There's a little feature called 10 Things You Don't Know About Me, such as that I wear a moose suit to bed in cold weather. And there's a nice photograph of that. Or that, like, I hiked the Grand Canyon twice, and the second time was a total disaster. And there's a picture of that total disaster.
Oh, dear.
I have on the website, I have two blogs. One is called The Feminist Grandma. And it's personal essays about family and friends and homelessness and whatever thrills me or irks me. And it's illustrated. And the other blog is called Big Books from Small Presses. And it's book reviews of mostly little-known books. And it's also illustrated, because I love illustrated. It's one of my favorite things. Then I have, besides the 10 things you don't know about me and the two blogs, I have a feature called Candy. And I would say that every few weeks I change it, but in fact I've been so involved in revising this other novel that I put it down. But at Candy you have, like, poems that catch my fancy or quotations that mean something to me. Like, there's a famous quotation by Andrew Marvell: "At my back, I always hear time's winged chariot drawing near." And that was the Candy 1 month. I have a lovely poem by Lucille Clifton. It's very short. Could I say the poem by Lucille Clifton?
Absolutely.
Okay. Lucille Clifton died in 2000. She was a black poet. And the poem is called Song at Midnight. "Brothers, this big woman carries much sweetness in the folds of her flesh. Her hair is white with wonderful. She is rounder than the moon and far more faithful. Brothers, who will hold her? Who will find her beautiful if you do not?" I love that poem. I think it's lovely. So
very
I put things like that, stuff I run across, I put up on my Candy page on my website.
I like that.
So how people could possibly resist going to it, I just don't know. So that's the story
of
my website.
So tell us the website again.
Okay, it's ElizabethMcCulloughAuthor.com.
Very and nice. McCulloch is McCulloch.
No, O-C-H, right.
Yes.
But you know, when you type that stuff in, if you goof it up, they'll fix it for you. You know how
yep.
it is.
Yeah.
And also, if they look up Dreaming the Marsh, they can find you. They can find you on Facebook.
That's right. And
let me just say, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, well, just about the book, a couple of things. I love speaking to book clubs. I have the best time going to book groups. And I have learned things from the people at book groups. In fact, somebody in a book group noticed something in my book that I had no idea was there, and I was so delighted. I had changed the magic words, and I didn't realize it. And the change in the magic words reflected something that was going on. So I was very impressed by that.
Wow.
But anyway,
cool.
The point is this. I will visit any book club, probably I want to say north of Orlando, or I will virtually visit a book club anywhere in the world now that we all know how to Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I love to do it. And if you are in a book club and you read the book and you like it, and you want to buy it as opposed to making your library get a bunch, you can buy, if you buy 10 or more copies from Twisted Road Publications, you get it at a ridiculous discount. I think it's something like $6.29 or something per copy.
Wow.
Very nice.
And if you're in Alachua County, which is where I am, our library has made a book kit out of my book, which is a rolling suitcase with 10 copies of the book.
Aww.
In. Isn't that
cool.
nice? Oh, I'm so I'm so
nice.
Excited. Oh, it took forever to happen, but thank you. I was so proud. Because I'm not Tom Clancy or Rosamund Pinch. I can't remember. You know, I'm not a big I'm not a big guy in the book industry, to put it mildly. I was delighted when they did that. So that's the book. That's the story of the book clubs. I love doing that. And I encourage people, if you want to buy my book, which of course you should, I encourage people to go to IndieBound, IndieBound, IndieBound.org, and they'll link you to an independent bookstore.
Very nice.
As opposed to Amazon or the big chains.
Sure.
I'm a believer in that kind of stuff.
Oh, I just thought of something. There's a little indie bookstore near where my son lives in Fleming Island, which is just outside of Jacksonville. I know
mm-hmm.
they have authors come in and speak. It's called Sweetwater Books.
Really?
So you want to write that one down.
I will indeed. I was booked at Songs and Stories in Fernandina Beach for April 15, and you can imagine what happened to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of the numerous cancellations. I had a crazy
April. Well, now would
April
be a good time
schedule,
to start planning something
absolutely.
For the fall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping that by fall we'll all be running around the way we used to.
Oh,
I really do. And I hope the kids are back in school. I hate to see them doing virtual school.
I know in South Carolina, which is my home state, they have stopped school. It's finished for the year. They've got to revise and figure out if they're going to do summer schooling or just let everybody start over in the fall.
Oh.
It's kind of a backward state.
Well, it's you know, watching the teachers switch in 2 weeks in Florida from normal school to virtual school with kids with all different levels of ability on the internet or assets, you know, or resources to use the internet,
mm-hmm.
it's
right.
heartbreaking. And the teachers,
yeah.
I don't know if you have friends who are teachers, but they are such bloody heroes. They're like the nurses,
they are.
You know.
Yeah.
The work they have done and desperate to get to help the kids. My my granddaughter, who's 17, is very self-motivated and very good at doing the virtual stuff. But a lot of kids aren't. And
a lot of them aren't.
Especially the younger kids.
One of our board members is a teacher of special education. And he said that it has been a real challenge because he's had to revamp all of his classroom plans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had to do that. But then if you have a group that particularly has difficulty with technology, it's just heartbreaking. And then
suddenly.
I'm a big fan of teachers. I've been involved with teachers for many years and watched them work with difficult kids, and they just put their heart and soul into it. My stepdaughter is a teacher up in New Orleans, and she is such a creative teacher. Oh, my goodness. I'm so proud of her.
That's really cool.
I'm going to make her listen to this. I'm going to because this is archived,
yes.
Right?
I'm sorry that I don't know if it was the time of day that nobody could call in, but it just happens. Sometimes we get callers, sometimes we don't.
That's no big deal. I mean, it's fine with me. I hope we have some listeners. We don't know, but it'll be nice.
And a lot of people like to listen late at night or. Now they're not commuting so many places, but people like to listen at different times. And this will be archived. The same link that I gave you before will still work, so they can continue to, and I will continue promoting it too.
Even if we only had one or two listeners, we got to know each other a little, and that is very we're going to do a Green Gables thing.
Yes.
Hopefully.
I'm totally excited about that.
We definitely have to do that.
This is the way it's going to be. We're going to go to Green Gables. We'll have a book signing.
We can talk about what would be the best thing.
We can talk about
whiskey. You know what's going on with that.
Talk about whiskey and flowers and lavender cookies and Earl Grey tea. The three of us will find something to talk about. And then when we bring in other people from Green Gables, you will be amazed. Yeah.
We would have a lovely time with that.
I actually am late for another appointment.
Okay, well, we should go.
I think I'm busier now that nobody's working in their jobs. They're all wanting to meet me online.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I have not gotten very much rest since we've been on isolation. I have to schedule time to go out to my garden. And today that's going to be after this next little meeting. But I have enjoyed this so much. Elizabeth,
I can't wait to
meet you in person. I can't wait to, share drinks with you. I don't care if it's a drink of water.
I have really enjoyed it. You two are a treat, and
thank you.
I feel like I've made a good connection. I do want to say one thing. I have really enjoyed Be Unique, the magazine online. It's really beautiful. And that.
Have you listened to the audio?
I haven't. I'll tell you something. I will tell you a deep, dark secret, which is I don't listen to podcasts. I try, and I just can't.
I can't listen to audio books either.
I never did either.
Well, I used to listen to audiobooks when my son and I would travel an hour to his doctor one way.
Uh-huh.
And that was we would actually make time to go to the library before we'd go to the doctor's appointment, and we'd get out a book that we would read that would take about 2 hours. We'd hear it. This was back in the cassette days. And we'd plug in the cassette, and we'd listen to it on the way to the doctor's office and on the way home. And if we didn't finish the book, I'd take him for a little drive somewhere else just so we could finish the book.
That's so nice.
I will tell you, I have found that if I listen to a podcast while I'm cooking dinner, it's kind of neat. It's a little more, I like educating myself, but I also like to be entertained. And I cannot cook dinner or do the dishes while I'm watching television. My brain doesn't work that way. But if I'm listening to music or listening to a book or some people talking that I find entertaining, it's not so bad. Issue 14, we put together at the last minute thought we should do this, and we put all these recordings together. But issue 15 is so good because we had Franklin Prather, who's one of our board members, and he volunteers with us. He's actually the educator I was telling you about that has to work with special ed. He's a great guy with music and sound, and he put together the stories in a very entertaining way. So if you do want to listen to Be Unique Issue 15, do it, because it's not just a bunch of stories. It's really nice. Very well done, I thought.
Well, and with that, struck me about that issue, the cover and the young woman who does those paintings, those are stunning.
Yes.
Those
yes.
are really beautiful. I was very impressed by that.
I'm gonna let you guys in on a little
secret. We should
secret.
Go, right?
Well, yeah, but I have to tell you this because I'm in the process. I'm having a meeting with the board Saturday. We've already approved it. We just have to finalize it. We are going to be doing a creative challenge. I wanted to just do a writing contest, and the next thing I know, it turned into this challenge for creating anything. So it can be short stories, microfiction, it can be a memoir, an essay, or it can be photography, or any kind of fine art. And then we also have a film section. So we're going to have all kinds of options out there for people to, and we're going to be giving away money.
Awesome.
Wow.
So that's the next big thing. Pretty unique. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm very impressed. I bet
you
are. That's wonderful.
This is,
well,
you know,
I want,
we're
you
only...
know, thank you guys for
you
all
are
this.
So
this
welcome.
Has been great fun.
You know,
awesome
we're only 2 years old, right?
What? Oh, your magazine. Yes, I do know you're only 2 years old, and that's what one of the things that impresses me. I thought what you said was, I'm only 2 years old. I thought, no, not quite.
Well, now, so the day I turned 50, I started having encore birthdays. And you know how some people hit a certain age and they say, well, I'm 21 and holding? I've never had an encore 21st birthday. And I'm not like Jack Benny, so I'm not 29. But I have had the encore of my 9th birthday 3 times since I turned 50.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
because
goodness.
It was just a fun day. So don't be surprised if I don't tell you I'm celebrating my 2nd birthday.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I think that's when
Sounds
I start
good.
Drinking tequila again.
No.
Well, folks, I'm going to leave you with just a few short
All
words.
All right.
And they are, go with God and drive with angels. That's what
oh
I used
goodness.
To tell my kids. When my kids were teenagers, they couldn't stand for me to tell them, be careful. So I said, go with God and drive with angels. And if either of you have a little pearl of wisdom you'd like to share before I hit the exit button, go for it.
I do. I actually have a motto. And my motto is, light a candle and curse the darkness.
Ooh.
That's my motto.
I like that. How about you, Gene?
Yeah, nice. Well, I'd have to say, if I got a saying, it's if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
Amen.
go ahead and give me an example, but not right now. Thanks so much.
Thank you
this
all.
Has been
Thank you all very much.
You are very welcome. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.